There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Welcome to College Football Live.
We're going four wide on College Football Live. Welcome in to the Tuesday edition. Matt Schick along with Greg McElroy, David Pollack, and Joey Galloway. Four being the key number today. We got the top four teams in college basketball going at it, the Champions Classic at Madison Square Garden. That is also where we will learn who are in the top four of the initial college football playoff rankings. We'll learn that tonight on ESPN. In between those two college basketball games, in the Champions Classic, that's where we find Joey Galloway. Joey, what are you hoping to learn tonight?
I want to find out where Clemson is. Trevor Lawrence throws a couple interceptions and people jump off of Clemson like it's the Titanic or something. They're still the best team in the country. I just want to see if the committee agrees with me.
I'd be curious to see just the pecking order of the one-loss teams. You know, we talk about the Pac-12 all of the time. Is Oregon above Georgia? Where is Utah sitting in this equation? I think it'll be fun to see that right off the bat.
I'm most interested in Oklahoma because right now, guys, there's a real possibility that a one-loss SEC non-champion or a one-loss Big Ten non-champion could still find their way in front of a one-loss Big 12 champion. That could be the Oklahoma Sooners. So I'm fascinated to see where the Sooners come in this initial ranking.
Yeah, I'm with you. Could the Pac-12 be boxing out the Big 12, depending on how those rankings look tonight? Greg, what is your top six here? We know what the committee, we'll see what they do tonight. You're the one-man committee here. What do you got?
Well, I'm actually going to go with LSU at number one. I think them and Ohio State are in a little bit of a league of their own. LSU with the resume and eye test combined, I think that gives them the top spot, knowing that they've beaten three teams that were currently ranked in the top 10 when they played them. At Ohio State, they've been so dominant, so impressive. I think they're the best team in America, but I would expect the committee to have them at number two. Alabama, I'd have at three. I'd have them grouped along with Clemson and Penn State in those kind of three through five. I think any of those three teams could be at three, but I think Alabama's at three based on the eye test. Clemson at four, they've looked really, really dominant in all but one game, and that game against North Carolina is what would kind of lead me to have them right behind Alabama. I'd have Penn State at number five, undefeated, with still plenty of opportunities in front of them. I have Georgia, the best one-loss team in the country, in my opinion, sitting there in the sixth spot.
So, Greg, do you think LSU's better than Ohio State, or is that just what you think the committee's going to do?
I think that's what the committee is going to do.
Okay, I think that's what the committee is going to go to do as well, but I think Ohio State's better. So I have Ohio State number one. They have Chase Young. Everybody else doesn't. I'll repeat that a lot of times this season. LSU, obviously, you've seen what they've been able to accomplish this season. So now I start stacking up LSU, Alabama, Clemson. I think they're all very similar resumes. Obviously, LSU has by far the best resume of those three. Alabama, I think when Tua's healthy, the most dynamic offense, the most explosive offense, I'll give them a little bit of a nod over Clemson. Penn State, nipping at the heels, getting better offensively. Georgia, best one. Lost team at six.
I think so far this has been the best top to bottom one through six that we've had at this point of season since we started these playoffs. Yeah. And Greg, there's only one team that's in a league of their own so far, and that's the defending National Champions League. Clemson is still sitting at number one. LSU, with a great resume, is at number two. Alabama, three. Ohio State, four. Penn State coming in number five. I mean, we've been waiting on LSU and Alabama to play. I really can't wait to see Penn State against Ohio State in a couple weeks. So I think that that game will be just as good in figuring out this top one through five. And then I agree, Georgia being the best one-loss team at this point in the season, they needed the win against Florida to come back out and say, hey, we're still here, we're still alive.
I love, though, Joey, that you've been so impressed by all the incredible wins that Clemson's really have on their resume. That 5-3 A&M team is really dang solid, and man, it was convincing. And of course, that North Carolina game, who can forget that? They looked dominant. They got it done in that night. Honestly, I think Clemson is a team whose best football is in front of them, and they are very much in control of their own destiny. And frankly, I wouldn't want to play them if they got to the playoff, but to have them at one based on this season, the 2019 season, I think would be ridiculous.
Here's the thing. The only team in any of our top six that can really say, hey, we run a gauntlet and come out undefeated would be LSU. If you go beyond LSU and what they've done with their resume, I mean, who do you respect on Ohio State's resume? Wisconsin got beat by Illinois. The eye test for Ohio State is key. They look really good. Alabama, who you like? Texas A&M. Again, you mentioned them. So it's eye test with Alabama. And so we're going a lot of eye test here. And so with Clemson, at least, the concern was Trevor Lawrence and their offense. We know how good they've been. We know all those guys are back. We know how good they will be. So I'm not concerned with them. Their defense looks really good.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, so basically what you need to know, Greg, is whatever the preseason polls were, that's what Joey's sticking to. So we're just going to go with that for the time being in the foreseeable future.
Never heard of preseason
polls before. Christian Wilkins, Cleveland Farrell, all those guys have been dominant this year for
the
Tigers.
They're coming back for the playoffs.
Yeah, they should. That'd be great.
Where do they come from? Yeah, I do my own homework. I have my own preseason poll.
Yeah, there's no groupthink with Joey. He's got it. He's his own man. I don't mean to rain on all of this. It
Sit
doesn't
back
matter
and
what
listen.
Clemson's ranked.
Sit back
if
and
they
listen.
if they win out, they're
doesn't
in.
Matter.
Clemson is going to be fine, but it's fun to talk about. Obviously, where should they be ranked tonight? We shall see. You guys mentioned you guys have Georgia there at sixth, and if Georgia is sixth, to me that says well that loss to South Carolina really didn't mean a whole heck of a lot. Winning matters, but losing also matters. And I ask that because you guys have Oregon. I didn't see Oregon there in that top six. I would have Oregon at sixth if you're comparing the losses. Mm. Maybe not with the eye test, but in terms of consistency of play. Greg, where do you see the Pac-12 and specifically Oregon showing up tonight?
See, that's my issue is, well, their loss isn't as bad. Well, we're going on a fool's errand if we're starting to compare losses. Who have you beaten? That's the big thing. And frankly, right now, the best win on Oregon's resume is on the road at Washington. And Washington's, frankly, not a very good football team. I look at Georgia, and I look at their wins against Notre Dame. I know Notre Dame doesn't look as good today as they did a few weeks ago, but that's still a solid win. And you look at Georgia just beat, convincingly, I think, a Florida team last week in a neutral site environment. And I think Florida is one of those teams that's probably going to be ranked in the top seven or eight. So I think Georgia, their wins overcompensate for that really ugly loss where they lost the turnover margin 4-0 and lost in overtime to South Carolina.
I agree. And we have to start looking at offensive side of the football, defensive side of the football. I think we have to start encapsulating all this now when we're talking about teams. Georgia's defense has been as dominant as anybody in college football across the landscape. I mean, they are really, really good, much improved. You're talking about having four different corners. They're leading the SEC in pressures. They're getting to the quarterback more than they have in the past. And offensively, as much as we talk about them taking steps back, which I think they have from a year ago, you see when you insert Lawrence Cager back in the lineup, you saw that offense went back to what we saw it was earlier in the season. So I don't trust Oregon's defense. We can talk about that run we had of five games when they played some really bad offenses. But if you've seen in the past couple weeks, I think it's a lot leakier than you think. And the offense, honestly, the offense is kind of up and down as well, Joey. I haven't seen enough consistency from their offense to make me buy in and go, Oregon is so good. They're a great team.
Yeah, I agree. And they haven't looked dominant in those wins. And so as we look at a lot of these teams without a great resume and we go eye test, then Oregon can't be behind to Washington going into the second half and then have to come back and win that football game. And so there's no great win out there. Honestly, for the Pac-12, they need Utah. They need Oregon to win out, get into the Pac-12 championship game as a top 10 matchup. And then one of those teams blow the other one out, not just win a close game, but blow the other one out to make a statement. And then we'll have a conversation. But until then, it's going to be tough for the Pac-12.
Yeah, going to be interesting to see what the committee thinks about the Pac-12, and specifically, like you said, Utah and Oregon. You mentioned, Greg, what about Florida? A two-loss team now. Again, those losses, pretty good losses. It's a pretty good team. But what do you think the committee is going to do with the Gators?
I think it's going to be really interesting. I think they could be as high as 7 and as low as 10. But I would expect to see them in there around 8 or 9. Those two losses, like you mentioned, they weren't pretty by any stretch to go on the road, lose by a couple touchdowns to LSU. But if you watch the game, they had a couple opportunities to close that to a one-score game at the end, and they couldn't execute in the red zone. And they even had their chances against Georgia last week if they wouldn't have made a couple mistakes. So I think Florida, with the win against Auburn, that win is better than anything we've seen from Utah. That win is anything we've seen better than what we've seen from an Oregon team that hasn't really beaten anybody. It's better than anything we've seen from an Oklahoma team that hasn't really beaten anybody except for Texas. So I think that that win against Auburn could be a significant feather in the cap of the Florida Gators, but I don't know if they're going to get the same response that I would have when evaluating what that team's capable of.
I agree with you. When you watch Florida play, and you always get to the end, especially in their couple losses, you say, man, if they'd have just made this play or if they'd have just done this, it would turn out different with Florida. They're a solid football team. I thought that Zuniga and Grenard coming back on that defensive line would make things different in the Georgia game. Didn't matter whatsoever. And so I think it is tough to really put them any higher because they didn't look different in the Georgia game. They look like the same Florida team that, you know, you want to give a team credit for dealing with injuries. But when guys come back healthy, if they don't then make a statement and look different, then you're like, okay, well, that's who they are. They're a good football team, just not in the upper echelon.
Yeah, and so to me, let's watch tonight and let's figure out where the committee puts Florida. Are they above one-loss teams? Could they be above undefeated teams? I mean, I'm fascinated to find the, and we're going to talk about this in a little bit too, with Baylor and Minnesota. Those are teams that, where are they going to be ranked in this equation without, you know, quality wins whatsoever? But I think that two-loss Florida will be interesting to see if they're ahead of any one-loss teams because of what they've accomplished this season.
And if there is a knock on Florida, it will be the fact that they have played two FCS teams. What does the committee think about that in terms of their strength of schedule, and how might that knock them down? All right, that's it. Madison Square Garden tonight. We'll find out the committee rankings. We'll see Joey Galloway back there tonight when Reese and the guys break it down from top to bottom. The exclusive reveal of the first college football playoff top 25 rankings live from MSG in between the Champions Classic game after Kansas Duke and before Michigan State and Kentucky. We'll have an interview with Rob Mullins as well in that show. Also, Rob Mullins leading the discussions inside the committee room in Grapevine, Texas. Heather Dinich will tell us about today's process and explain what the biggest debate inside the room may be leading up to tonight's ranking. Plus, one team you won't see in the top 25, Florida State. Seminoles looking for a new head coach. Was Willie given enough time?
Mayhem begins. The College Football Playoff Top 25 Ranking Show, tonight at 9 on ESPN.
Mayhem begins tonight with the first playoff rankings release. Now let's take a look at this week's Rankings Mayhem, brought to you by Allstate. Not much movement in the AP poll, with half the top 10 off last week. The only shift comes with Georgia back in the top 6 after their win against Florida. Again, this poll rendered irrelevant tonight around 9 o'clock Eastern time because of the release of the College Football Playoff Top 25, the committee meeting in Grapevine, Texas. That is where ESPN's Heather Dinich can be found today. Heather, for those who are new to this process, walk us through what the committee is doing today and what they'll do leading up to the rankings tonight.
Sure, Matt, they're on a bit of a different schedule for these first five rankings than they are for Selection Day when their final top 25 comes out. There are six sitting athletic directors in that room, so they're on a schedule. They've got to get back to work. So on the last day, they will take as long as they need to figure this out. Monday night, they met till about 9 o'clock Central Time, and today they wrapped up by noon. So it's in the books. No idea what the final answer is, but it is in the books. And I do think that it was a different vibe in that room during their meetings this week because it's different than it was last year. Last year, remember, there were a lot of 2 and 3 loss teams. This year, there were some undefeated teams and 1 loss teams to sort out. So it was not easy.
All right. So the answers are in the books. What answers are you most interested in learning tonight?
The thing I'm most interested to see is how they handled Clemson and Alabama for that 3-4 spot. Both of them don't have the greatest schedules, but I think they might give Clemson a little more credence because Clemson went on the road, won three times. They're number one in defensive efficiencies. And for all the flaws that people seem to nitpick at, they are still winning games by an average of 33 points. The other thing is, where is Oregon and the rest of the Pac-12? How far is that conference from really being in this equation?
Yeah, that's gonna be fascinating to learn. Again, Oregon, Utah, are they boxing out the Big 12, Alabama? You know, the playoff committee can say, hey, eye test here, resume here, best, most deserving. It'll be interesting to learn. You had something on ESPN.com. You did a lot of offseason work and questioning and surveying coaches, 62 of them to be exact, in the Power Five, asking them about the college football playoff and what they would do with it. What answer surprised you?
Matt, I think the fact that there's not an overwhelming majority in support of expanding the playoff, 30 of those 62 coaches that I spoke with said, yes, I think it needs to be bigger. And I think the average fan might find that a little bit surprising because it just seems from the outside there's this push to get this thing bigger to eight teams or even more. And it's not necessarily the case with the guys who are tasked with winning it all.
Yeah, and the SEC said we'd like to keep things status quo. That's not at all shocking news for a conference that has not missed out on the college football playoff. Heather, looking forward to it tonight. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Matt.
All right, Heather Dinich here joining us on College Football Live. It was just 5 years ago Florida State was in the college football playoff. Now for the second time in less than 2 years, the program looking for a new head coach, firing Willie Taggart before the end of his second season at the helm, something AD David Coburn says had to be done.
In terms of doing it now, we looked at the pluses and minuses, and we didn't really see any upside to waiting. We wanted to go ahead and get started with a search, see if we could get somebody in here ready to go as quickly as possible. Frankly, 6-6 isn't good enough. And we didn't see an advantage to waiting to the end.
All right, guys, Willie Taggart had a record of 9-12. 21 games he was given at Florida State. Greg, did they give him enough time?
No, they didn't. I mean, you can't expect to mend some of the issues within that program in that short a period of time. However, what he did make abundantly clear in his first 21 games is that this is not the guy that's going to take Florida State back to the national championship picture. What he also proved is that this team this year really wasn't that bad. Yeah, their record right now looks abysmal, but they're only a couple plays away from being 7-2. And if for whatever reason they were to tie together a couple wins here to close out the season, then that might force Florida State to keep Willie Taggart for an additional year. So I'm okay with the timing. I just don't think it's fair to expect Willie Taggart to have turned this thing completely around in this short a period of time.
I agree that there were some holes when he took over, but how many of those teams did he play with when he was the least talented team? I don't think you can go very far down. Clemson, right. 100%. I'll give you those two games.
Okay. But I'll give you that.
I mean, yeah. Let's be honest. I think that it has been a struggle. And this is what Florida State obviously knows. This is not the guy for the future. I mean, you don't punt on a guy this quickly. A lot of times you allow coaches to make coordinator change and to go before they go in a different direction. They don't believe in Willie Taggart. There's something obviously that they're seeing that leads them to think the future is not bright, and they had to make a change and had to go in a different direction.
It's a great point, David. And they seem to have more talent, but look less prepared than the teams that they played against. And that manifests itself in penalties and things like that. You got the national signing period coming up, the early signing period in December. They cut ties right now, perhaps saving the recruiting class. David, how good is this job at Florida State?
This is a great job. It's not a top 10 job, but this is a great job in college football. We just talked about it, dude. We just talked about how they're going to be more talented they are more talented than almost everybody they play. They play in the ACC. They have a plethora of people, 5 stars, 4 stars. You can throw rocks and hit a bunch of athletes in Florida, okay? They can find guys left and right. So this is a top 15 job. This is in a league where you can win right now, and you should win right now because you're just kind of spinning a wheel right now of who's decent in the ACC. Yeah.
just 6 years removed from winning a national championship. So it's hard to argue with that. Yeah, Florida State looking for a new head coach. Now for this week's Ultimate Performance presented by BMW. How about a little praise for Jake Fromm, quarterback for Georgia. Sensational this week in the Bulldogs' win over Florida. Specifically clutch on third down, where Fromm went 10 of 13 passing, 119 yards, two touchdowns, and eight first downs. Coming up next, LSU trying to take the throne in the SEC from Alabama. Tuesday take on Saturday's Classic coming up.
Now playing on ESPN. Tonight, a huge college hoops doubleheader bracketing the season debut of the College Football Playoff Ranking Show. And tomorrow, the NBA shines with a star-studded doubleheader. Watch live on ESPN and the ESPN app.
Got college football playoff implications on ABC and ESPN app. Penn State and Minnesota, Battle of Unbeatens, noon Eastern on ABC. And then 7:30, undefeated number 4, Clemson, squares off against NC State. Got another SEC showdown on Saturday. Time to discuss the Capital One fan vote. According to the AP poll, it's number 1 versus number 2. You got Tigers or Tide? Give us your pick for the game of the year at Capital One fan vote. 65% are LSU fans with very good internet access. Go to twitter.com/SportsCenter to check out this week's Capital One vote. Greg, we got plenty of time to talk about this game, but give me your early impressions of Saturday's matchup.
I think it's amazing how LSU has kind of transformed into a 21st century version of themselves. I mean, it's amazing now to see them say, hey, we can't beat Alabama doing it the way we've always done it. We have to adapt. We have to empower the quarterback. We had to start throwing the ball through the air and look at the results. It's been remarkable. So I think this is the best chance LSU's had at knocking off an Alabama team with this type of firepower. But, man, I don't know. I have a really, really hard time, Dave, picking against Tua and the boys at home. I think Bama gets it done in what should be an epic contest.
Okay, but either way, I'm just so excited that we came into LSU, Alabama. And it's not Mary Samsonite. It's not Mary Swanson. It's not just saying they have a chance. They actually do. Like, it's so much fun. Like, LSU's coming in with legit firepower. They can score. Alabama's defense, by the way, exceptionally young in the middle. Where does Burrow do most of his damage? Over the middle of the field, the RPOs. Like, this is going to be actually fun. I'm staying for the game. Most of the time in the past, LSU, Alabama were doing game day. It's like, okay, I'm gone because LSU can't score. Now they can. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. I remember being on the sidelines, LSU last year against Alabama, bailed at the half. You knew that game was over. You got to stay for four quarters coming up this year. By the way, PJ Fleck, 7-year contract, new contract for 2026, $10 million buyout. Win or lose, he's buying dinner Saturday. We'll see you
tonight
on Wednesday.